morning church. As what I think Pastor TJ mentioned, that we're now in our seventh and final topic of our Church Core Values series. And today's sermon is entitled Giving Church. No, we're going to talk about stewardship. So we're going to be talking about giving today. So I hope and pray that after our sermon, 60 lang yapon ang mo-appeal sa covenant class. No, dili mapaan. Anyway, we're going to be talking about giving, and it is my goal this morning is to simply encourage you guys to generously give and joyfully contribute to the work of God's kingdom. No, after all, there's a saying, you can love without giving, but you can never love. You can give without loving, but you can never give. You can never love without giving, right? Okay, so, and also don't worry about that, because the Bible clearly tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Now, this the sermon this morning have 5 points. Number one, a believer's perspective towards wealth and money. Number two, the marketplace calling. Number three, the pulpit of influence. Number four, the responsibility to give. And number five, faithful stewardship. Okay. So can I request everyone to please stand right now as we go to our main passage this morning. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 to 60. Okay, Matthew 27, verse 57 to 60. Says here, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled the great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord, that once again we can gather to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray right now, Lord, for the warmth of your love to be present in our midst, O God. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that you be the one, Lord, to minister to each and every heart. Lord, we pray that you anoint your word, Lord, you be the one to anoint the preaching this morning. That, Lord, your word will be preached, O God, with anointing, clarity, and power. And, Father, whatever you're going to accomplish this morning, we're just eager to give you back all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, church, let me begin my preaching this morning with a question, okay? Now, what has God, or what has the Bible have to say about wealth and money? What does God have to say about riches, about finances? Now, is it something bad? Is it something evil? Or is it something good? Now, what does the Bible has to say about wealth? Now, this may surprise some of you here. You will never be able to find a single verse in the Bible that says wealth and money are evil. But on the contrary, if you study your Bible, there are a lot of scripture passage that teaches us that wealth comes from the Lord. Riches comes from God. So that per se, we can conclude that wealth and riches and even money, they're not evil. Unless, of course, we acquire them in an unscrupulous manner. Now in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13, this is what King David has to say in his prayer. And guys, mind you, King David is one of the richest king who ever lived in the history of humanity. Now, nearing the end of his life, this is what King David says in his prayer. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12 to 13. It says here, wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. So you see here, church, King David was thankful to the Lord. He was so grateful. He was praising God that God made him rich, that God blessed him with wealth and placed him in a seat of honor. Now, King David was extremely grateful. And guys, there are two things I'd like to point out in King David's prayer here. Is that number one, he was thankful that God made him rich. He was thankful that God placed him in a place of honor or in a place of influence, if you may. Okay? He was thankful. He was grateful. And number two, he was unapologetic for them. David was not sorry. He was not troubled. He didn't feel terrible that God made him rich. He was not sorry that God placed him in a seat of honor. Now, guys, the reason why I'm pointing this out is because there are many Christians today who have a wrong perspective towards wealth and money. There are actually Christians who think that the poorer I am, the holier I become. There are Christians who think that if I walk my way to church, then I am holier than those who drive their air-conditioned car going to church. The poorer I am, the holier I become. The poorer I am, the closer I am to God. But guys, the problem with this kind of idea, the problem with this kind of teaching, is that you will never find any scripture passages that support such idea. No kind of scripture verses that will highlight this idea. So the question is, where does this idea come from, or where does this teaching come from? Now, guys, you must understand that we live in a nation that is predominantly Roman Catholic. And in Roman Catholicism, they have this vow which they call the vow of poverty. And what does the vow of poverty instruct? It is precisely that. The poorer I am, the holier I become. The poorer I am, the closer I am to God. Now, another verse I want us to look at, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Okay, Proverbs 10:22. It says here, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and He adds no trouble to it. So this verse clearly tells us that wealth comes from the Lord. Riches comes from God. And church, my point is simply this. Before I go on with my preaching, I just want all of our minds to be in the same page. I want our minds to be renewed. And I want to establish it as a fact and make sure that you understand that wealth and money, they're not evil. In fact, scripture tells us that they come from the Lord. Okay? Now, before I go on, I would just like to bring the balance though, no? Unless, you know, basini accuse ko sa pastoral team that I'm a health, wealth, prosperity preacher, which I am not. So I want to bring the balance here, okay? Although wealth and money is not evil, they can become very evil, right? Although wealth and money is not evil, it can become very evil. So when does wealth and money become evil? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. It says here, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desire that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So church, when does wealth and money become evil? It is not even the time when you begin to love money. The Bible tells us, if we desire to become rich, we open ourselves to dangerous temptation. Okay? The moment we desire to become rich, guys, we open ourselves to crazy ideas, to dangerous temptation. So being, as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, desiring to be rich is a big no-no for all of us. In fact, the Lord Jesus made it very clear that it is easier for a camel to enter an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Okay? Now guys, although wealth and money, they're not evil per se, but desiring to be rich is evil, as Christians, what then should be our perspective towards wealth and money? What then should be our attitude towards wealth and money? As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, what then should be our, you know, asa man ta mo pwesto, asa man ta mo lugar, okay? So this is point number one, a Christian's perspective towards wealth and money. Now guys, while it is wrong to desire for a Christian to become rich, it is entirely a different thing for us to desire to become productive and fruitful in life. Let me say that again. While it is very wrong for a Christian to desire to become rich, it is entirely a different thing for a Christian to desire to become productive and fruitful in life. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? Okay? Now, the difference between the two is that the goal and motivation of wanting to become rich is always self-centered. I want to be rich because I want to drive nicer car. I want to be rich because I want to live in a bigger house. I want to be rich so I will have more influence in the society, so I'll have nicer clothes, so on, so and so forth. No, the desire of wanting to become rich is always self, is always driven by self-agenda. Me, myself, and I. Okay? While the desire of becoming rich is self, the desire of becoming productive and fruitful in your life is obedience. While the desire of the former is self, that the desire of the latter is obedience. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, how many of you realize or how many of you know that if you read scriptures, there are countless passages in scriptures that instruct believers to work hard, that instruct believers to do things with excellence. And guys, if you're familiar with your Bible, you will understand that this command is not just in the New Testament. In fact, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Okay? Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. This was when after God created Adam and Eve. And this is what God said to Adam and Eve after creating them. He says to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Okay? Now, when God created Adam and Eve, the Lord gave them three specific instructions. That is, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue. Now, church, we don't have any problem doing the first two. Especially as Filipinos, we're so good at that. We are now over 100 million in population. But the sad thing is, the third command, we perform kanang kusabaga under par. And somehow, we as believers, we have forgotten this third command from the Lord. Now guys, the word subdue in the Hebrew word is the word kabash. And kabash connotes the idea of, you know, organizing something, cultivating something, making it beneficial for one's advantage, or making it useful for oneself, no? So in other words, after God created Adam and Eve, not only did God instructed Adam and Eve to go be fruitful and multiply, but God instructed Adam and Eve to work. God instructed Adam and Eve to be productive for their life. So church, you and I, we are not designed to be sloppy. We are not designed to be lazy. When God created humanity, God didn't just create humanity for the sake of existence, but God created humanity, God created humans, you and I, that we will be able to worshipfully be productive with our life. Okay? So again, this should be our perspective towards riches, no? We don't desire to become rich, but our desire is that we become productive with our life, that we will become fruitful with our life. Because if we are productive with our life, if we are fruitful with our life, we are actually honoring God because we are doing what God has designed us to do. All right? So as Christian, guys, this should be our perspective. Desiring to be rich is a big no-no. But we should desire, we should aim that our lives will be productive. And if God makes us rich in the process, praise God. But if dili gapon, praise God gihapon, as long as we're living productive life. Amen? So that's point number one. Now, point number two, the marketplace calling. The calling in the marketplace. Now, going back to Matthew 27, verse 57, it says here, "When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus." Now guys, Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned in all the four Gospels. But the remarkable thing about him is that there are two little known facts about kinsa gid ni si Joseph of Arimathea. And in this passage we're studying today, he's only described with three things, no? Is that number one, he's from Arimathea. Number two, he was a rich man. And number three, he was a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this verse, I would like us to highlight two things here. No? I'd like us to underscore two things. The first thing is, the Bible tells us that Joseph was a rich man. Okay? And the second thing is that he's a true disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how true of a disciple was Joseph of Arimathea was? Unsa siya katinuod nga disciple ni Lord? Now, we must understand the timeline and the context of this passage. This was during the time that our Lord Jesus Christ hung lifeless at the cross. Now, during this time, the 11 apostles, they were greatly scared. Hadlo kay sila to be identified with the Lord. They were hiding wherever they were hiding because of great fear. They were so afraid to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, here is Joseph of Arimathea bravely identified himself to be a disciple of Jesus. So this tells us that this person truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in other parallel verses, makita nato that it was him and Nicodemus who took out the body of the Lord Jesus Christ from the cross. And they were the ones who cleansed the bloody body of our Lord during that time. Now, guys, we should understand that Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. I believe he had many servants. He could have just ordered one of his servants and tell his servant, okay, kuha ato ang body ni Lord, limpyuhin ninyo. No, he did not do that. He did it himself. No, he was willing to get his hands messy serving the Lord. So church, this tells us that Joseph of Arimathea was a true blue, genuine disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a person truly in love with Jesus. Okay? Now, so we already established the fact that he's a genuine believer of the Lord, a person truly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is, although he was in love with the Lord, he's a true disciple of the Lord, but yet he was not part of the 12 apostles. Okay? Although he was a true disciple, a genuine disciple, he was not part of the 12. Now, in other words, we can label Joseph of Arimathea someone who was not a full-time worker, if you may. Okay? He was not a full-time, unlike the 12, no? Well, the 12, during the ministry years of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world, while the 12 kept on following the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he went, casting out demons, healing the sick, Joseph of Arimathea was somewhere else. He was not with them, again, because he was not a full-time church worker. He was not a full-time, unlike the disciples, the 12 disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. So where could Joseph of Arimathea be while the Lord Jesus roamed around and ministered to the people? Where could have Joseph of Arimathea been during those times? Now guys, the Bible never mentioned the source of Joseph's wealth. But we have many reasons to believe that him being a rich and upright man, he was most probably a trader. Many scholars believe that Joseph of Arimathea was a trader, a businessman, if you may. Now, during the time of Jesus, you must understand that there were no multinational corporations yet. For you to be rich during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, you either have to be a trader, an heir of a rich father, or someone who is in the government. Now, if Joseph of Arimathea was a government official, then most likely it would have been mentioned in scriptures, but it was not. If Joseph of Arimathea was a son of a rich father or an heir of a rich father, then it should have most likely been also mentioned in the Bible, especially in the Jewish culture, which is very genealogy conscious, but it was not. So scholars believe that Joseph of Arimathea was a trader, a businessman, if you may. So guys, while the 12 apostles followed the Lord Jesus wherever the Lord Jesus Christ went, ministering with the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea was in the marketplace. He was in the marketplace, no? He realized that his calling is not the same as the 12. He realized that although he is a full-time worker of the Lord, he is assigned somewhere else, no? He was there in the marketplace working hard, knowing that he has to be productive with his life, no? He was somewhere else, knowing that his calling is different from the 12. Now, Joseph understands, yes, I know I love the Lord. Yes, I know I love Jesus, but I'm not called into the full-time. I'm called somewhere else. Now, guys, the reason why I'm sharing this to you is because statistics tell us that in God's kingdom, only 1% go into the full-time ministry. Meaning to say, as Christians, only 1% either become pastors, missionaries, or become full-time church workers. Now, what about the 99% of the body of Christ? Well, the 99% of the body of Christ are people like you and me. people in the marketplace, no? We are the marketplace believers. And guys, you must understand that just because we don't work inside the church, just because we are not employed by the church, it doesn't mean that we're not anymore full-time workers. You should realize that even though we work beyond the four walls of the church, we are still full-time workers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord assigned us to a different place. So what I'm saying right now, where you are right now, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a businessman, a call center employee, a teacher, wherever you are right now, you should have a mindset that that is where your calling is. The Lord called you to be there. Okay? So from now on, I want you to have a renewed mind. I'm just here for the sake of working. No, it's not. You are there because the Lord has placed you there. You are called to be in the marketplace. And guys, as marketplace believers, there are so many things we can contribute to the work of God's kingdom. As marketplace believers, there are so many things that you can put on the table to advance the gospel. Now guys, we always talk about revival. We always talk about sinners coming to the footstool of the Lord Jesus Christ. But guys, think about this. If only 1% of Christ's body that will move, that will work for the gospel, there will be no revival going on. There will be no revival that's going to happen. Why? Because 99% of the body of Christ is in the marketplace. And we're supposed to, you know, to function as one body. We're supposed to function, although we are many different, our function is one, but that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now again, as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ in the marketplace, there are so many things that we need to contribute for the work of the gospel. But since our topic today is about giving and stewardship, I would just like to highlight on two things, no? Now, as marketplace believers, unsa atong ma-bring to the table, unsa atong ma-offer sa work for the gospel, which leads me to point number three, okay? Now, point number three, the pulpit of influence. The pulpit of influence. Now, let's go back to our passage right now. It says here, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. And look at verse 58. It says here, he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Now, guys, how many of you realize that Pilate was a Roman governor? And it is not just anybody who can speak to a Roman governor. Now, try going to Governor Garcia's office, di mo mag-set appointment, musudla mo diritso, tanaw na no, di ba mo sikaran pagawas, no? No? And guys, look at this. Not only was he able to have an audience to Pilate, he was able to ask Pilate for a favor. Mr. Pilate, can you please give us and hand us the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? And Pilate agreed. Now guys, you must understand that this was something the rest of the other disciples cannot do. But yet, because Joseph was a man of stature, because he was a man of influence, Joseph of Arimathea was able to have that audience with Pilate. Now guys, again, in the body of Christ, although we are one, we serve different parts. There are things that Pastor TJ can do. There are a lot of things that Pastor TJ can do, Pastor Jed, Pastor Makbak. There are a lot of things that they can do, but there are also a lot of things that they cannot do that you and I, as people in the marketplace, we can do. No? And one of the things that we can contribute as marketplace believer is influence. Okay? In the area of influence. Now guys, this is Miss Elim Chu, can we flash it here? To give you an understanding of what I'm trying to say, let me share to you her story. Now, this is Elim Chu. Elim Chu used to be a backslider and a college dropout. She was a heavy drinker and a wild party animal. Now, one Sunday morning, while she was walking near a convention center in Singapore, she heard singing. So she went to check the source of the music, no? She wanted to know asa to ang music. So when she arrived to the source of the music, it was a church having their praise and worship. So she sat there for a while, stay there for 15 minutes and listen to the music. After that, she quietly left. But the song she heard during that service kept ringing within her soul. Magsigig balik-balik ang katong songs yung nadunggan. Now that night, she couldn't sleep because she kept thinking of those songs. No, so the following Sunday, she went back to the same service, and there she rededicated her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now she was personally discipled by the pastor and the pastor's wife during that time. So not long after that, she became a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when she already had a close walk with the Lord Jesus, she understood that her redemption isn't just about being saved from the fires of hell. Now she understood to make a greater impact for the kingdom of God, she needed to excel. She needed to do something. No, she was not just contented na saved na siya, maghuwat na lang siya, kanus siya mo go to heaven. But she realized that as a marketplace believer, she needs to create an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ in the marketplace. Now, she was into fashion styling. No, her profession was a hairdresser. And when she realized that she truly wants to make an impact sa kanang marketplace, she, together with her mom and her sister, they decided to venture into business. Okay? Again, since yung linya fashion man, they opened a fashion store called 77th Street in Singapore. So they invested in the business, and not long after that, by God's grace, the business was a big hit and it became a huge success. Now, Elim eventually became a multi-awarded businesswoman and entrepreneur in Singapore. No? So from a college dropout, walking closely with the Lord, now she became a multi-awarded kanang entrepreneur in Singapore. Now guys, if you hear her talk, you can really sense in her the passion ba? Nga, she was really into what she was doing. No? That she's not sloppy, she was very innovative. And kanang, you can just see in her, I've seen some of her interviews, and I can say that this lady was really a go-getter. No, kanang she was really into what she was doing. And by the way, I forgot to mention that Elim and her family, they were big-time givers to the kingdom. No, they have a very kingdom mindset. Good. They don't care what denomination, they don't care which church. If there was a need and that they can give, they give generously. So mo na ang background ni Elim. Now anyway, when their business started to flourish in Singapore, they decided to expand into China. And when they expanded in China, she followed the biblical principle of doing business. She paid the right taxes, paid her employees well, treated them well. Kanang in other words, kanang tarong siya nga negosyo ni ato sa China. No, paid the right taxes, gave the employee the rightful dues. And you know, she did all these things because she was a Christian. She did this consistently until one day, her ethical business practice eventually caught the attention of the Chinese authority. No nga, hibong sila ba nga, why is this lady, her tax books maayo kaayo, and her employees, they are treated very well. And by the way, Elim Chu is very vocal about her faith. No, grabe ka na siya nga, kanang, we could say she's really a woman on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this, the Chinese authority knew that Elim was a Christian. All right, the Chinese authority knew nga Christian nga bayhana, Christian nga businesswoman. Now, because her business was doing very well, and because she has been paying the right taxes and treating her employees right, this pleased the Chinese government so much that sometime in 2006 to 2008, the Chinese government offered Elim Chu 3 empty lots and told her that she's allowed to build churches on these 3 empty lots. Christian churches. Now church, come on, this is China. This is communist China. A nation that has been so close to the gospel for the past many centuries. But yet here is a woman of the Lord on fire for Jesus, doing what she was supposed to do. No? Faithful to what the scripture has been telling her to do as a boss. And eventually, the Chinese government approached her to open Christian churches. Let's give the Lord a big clap of praise for that, guys. Now, what do you call that? That is influence, right? That is influence. And guys, you have to understand that influence wouldn't just be handed to you. Like respect, influence is earned. It won't happen just one day mumataka all of a sudden you're an influential person. No. For Elim to achieve that status in life, she has to work hard. She has to be innovative. She has to love what she was doing. I mean, you know, work hard. Kayod, work hard. Now, if she was sloppy, if she was lazy, do you think she would be able to achieve those things? Definitely not, right? And as Christians, one of the things that we can contribute to the work of God's kingdom is influence. Now, another story. Let me share with you. Now, this is A.R. Bernard. No, one of the persons I really look up to. Now, before A.R. Bernard became a Christian, he was a Muslim and a highly successful banker in New York City. While he was still a banker, this was according to him, he was very disappointed with his boss. Because according to him, the boss got him a black lady secretary. Now, he said he would have preferred a young blonde as his secretary. So, in pagsuot pala sa secretary, murag nanasyay ka ng dislike towards her ba. But as months go by, he noticed that his secretary is really tremendous at her work. Her work ethic was impeccable. And this impressed A.R. Bernard so much. Now, his secretary's work was so remarkable to the point that A.R. Bernard's office could not function properly if she was absent. So this got A.R. Bernard curious about her black lady secretary. So later on, he found out that his secretary was a devout Christian. Now, during that time, A.R. Bernard was also going through a personal crisis of his own. Because although he was active in their Islam faith, somehow he felt there was emptiness within him, despite the fact that he was highly successful. And according to A.R. Bernard, he said, the simplicity of her secretary's faith intrigued him so much. No? Kita siya joyful yung secretary. He saw how faithful, unsa ka committed ang yung secretary to her faith. So the A.R. Bernard tried to ask her so many deep questions about her faith. But yet, the secretary could not answer. So this intrigued him all the more. So how come the secretary is giving all her life to what she believes in, but yet he couldn't answer those kinds of questions? So all the more, na-intrigue si A.R. Bernard towards the Christian faith. Now, to make the long story short, because of the impeccable work ethic of her secretary, they eventually became friends. And so one day, her secretary, friends naman sila, she invited her boss, A.R. Bernard, to attend an evangelistic event. No? An Nikki Cruz evangelistic event. I also love Nikki Cruz. No? So, A.R. Bernard joined that evangelistic event. And there, A.R. Bernard surrendered his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A.R. Bernard, a Muslim, now he became a Christian. Now, church, that was many, many years ago. Today, A.R. Bernard, or should I say Pastor A.R. Bernard, went on to become the founder and the senior pastor of the biggest church in New York City with over 20,000 members. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap of praise. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just excited when I hear these kinds of things, no? So what happened? Where did the 20,000 congregation church started? It started when the secretary faithfully did her job. If her secretary was lazy, if she was sloppy, kung tapulan siya, then she wouldn't be able to have that influence towards her boss. She wouldn't be able to invite her boss into that evangelistic meeting, right? But because she worked hard, she was a hard worker, she did what she was supposed to do. She eventually had that influence towards her boss, invited her boss to that evangelistic event, and that was many years ago. Today, Christian Convention Center, Christian Cultural Center is still doing very well as A.R. Bernard is their senior pastor. Now, another story, okay? I'm a Christian Marites. That's why the Hancock stories, no? Now, another story. An influential family here in Cebu, no? A very influential family here in Cebu. One time, I sat one of them during the wedding, during a wedding party. And when I found out that he was a Christian, I was delighted because I know their family to be very influential, no? So I asked him, how did they become a Christian man? Ganong na Christian man imong family? And he gladly shared his story to me. He's an elder of Bradford Church, where Pastor Mackie is pastoring. And this is their story. One time ko no, his mother rode on a taxi. You remember during the past, diba, there were no taximeters yet. The price was sabot-sabot lang. You just agree with the driver how much to pay. And overpricing during that time was rampant, diba? Now, during that time, the taxi driver did not overcharge. And throughout the taxi ride, the taxi driver was quite polite. And, you know, storya-storya sila sa mama niya. And then, the taxi driver shared the gospel to his mom. And so, because interested ka iyang mom to hear the gospel, the mom was so kanang really into what the taxi driver was sharing, she actually opened her home and invited the taxi driver to come to their house to have Bible study. And to make the long story short, that's how this powerful family came to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, due to a witness of the taxi driver. Now guys, what am I trying to point out here? What I'm trying to point out here, if you just do what you're supposed to be, if you just do what you're supposed to do as people in the marketplace, whether you're a big-time businessman like or businesswoman like Elim Chu, or a regular employee like A.R. Bernard, secretary, or just a minimal income earner like the taxi driver, if you do what you're supposed to do in the marketplace, no? If you just do it right, if you just do it with sincerity, if you just do it, you just do it properly, influence will eventually follow. And church, as marketplace believers, one of the things that we can contribute to the work of the gospel is our influence. Now, some of you here, you may already be in that position. Maybe you're a business owner or you're a boss. And for sure, people under you, you have influence over them. What are you doing with your influence? Are you using it to be a pulpit for the gospel? Do people know the Lord Jesus Christ as the one true God because of your influence over them? Now, if you're a teacher, for sure, your students are under your influence. If you are a doctor, for sure, your patient is under your influence, especially kung kamatyo nun na na, maminaw yun na ni mo, no? What are you doing with your influence? Because again, as marketplace believers, our influence is what we can, one of the things that we can contribute to the work of God's kingdom. Okay? So point number four, the responsibility to give. The responsibility to give. Let's go back to our main passage, Matthew 27, verse 59. It says here, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone at the entrance of the tomb and went away. Now guys, when Joseph of Arimathea bravely identified himself as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only did he use his influence to contribute for the work of God during that time, but he also offered up his resources. He offered his new tomb. Now, it was not only during our trip to Israel, some 4 years ago, I came to understand that ang tomb di ay, especially from a rich family, they're supposed to be family heirlooms. It's something that's precious to the family, it's something that holds sentimental value to the family. And guys, it is not cheap. It is very expensive. So what I'm trying to say here is that Joseph offered up to the Lord something that was precious to him. Something that was expensive. In other words, this was a generous offering from Joseph of Arimathea for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, guys, one of the things that we can contribute as marketplace believers to the work of the gospel is our resources. Now, obviously, today, we don't need to offer any more tombs to the Lord Jesus Christ because He's alive and He's alive forevermore. Amen? But we surely still can offer our resources. And let me just say this. In God's kingdom, money is not the most important thing, but it is important. Let me say that again. In God's kingdom, in the work of the gospel, money is not the most important thing, but it is important. How many of you realize that in order for us to send missionaries abroad, we need to spend thousands and thousands of dollars? For us to have this place as a place of worship where you and I are equipped with the Word of God, where people come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where our children are taught of the gospel. How many of you know that we spend about $400,000 a month for us to have this place? Again, in God's kingdom, money is not the most, it's not the most important thing, but it is important. Now, some 12 years ago, when the deacons and the leaders of this of our church decided to expand our church, no? Because gamay kita tong place dito sa una, when we decided to expand the place, if my memory serves me right, we needed to raise somewhere around 2 million pesos for the renovation and equipments. Now, back then, the leaders were still so young. Young pa man sa mi karon, pero mas young pagid mi sa una, no? And if my memory serves me right, when we did the survey back then, 70% of the congregation were below 40 years old. No, it was relatively a young church. And we needed to raise 2 million pesos. So I couldn't remember anymore how the Lord did it. But praise God, the 2 million pesos was raised. And church, I know of some who generously and sacrificially gave during that time. No, and that was more than 12 years ago. And guys, not one of them became malnourished because they gave. Some of them even a nambok pa, no? And none of them, wala gyud nila nagbyawya, wala gyud nagmahay that they gave for the work of the Lord. Now guys, again, one of the things that we can contribute for the work of God's kingdom is money. Our resources. Okay? Now guys, I would just like to encourage you right now, do not ever be afraid to give to the Lord. Do not ever be afraid to contribute for the work of God's kingdom. Because you know why? You will never, ever, ever, ever be able to outgive the Lord. I've been serving the Lord for many years now, and wala pigyud ko tao na ilhan nga ni claim I have outgiven God. Because guys, if you truly give to the Lord in a worshipful heart, you will never, ever be able to outgive Him. Now let's go to Luke 6:38 for a moment. And this is just one of the many passages about sowing and reaping, about giving to the work of God's kingdom. Luke 6:38. And by the way, guys, this is not from Pastor TJ. This is not from Living Word IT Park. This is not from me. This is from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And this is what He has to say about giving. He says, "Give, and it will be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put to your lap, for with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." Kasabot mo aniwa? Okay, let me just give you an illustration. The moment you give, kuno, whatever you give to the work of God's kingdom, whatever you offer to the Lord, just an illustration ha, it will be placed in a basket, it will be pressed down, shaken together, para mapunan pagyud siya, no? And it will be given back to you. That is the illustration here. That means to say, you will never, ever be able to outgive the Lord. Okay? Now, allow me to share my wife and I and my testimony, no? And now, 17 years ago, my wife and I, we used to have a thriving export business. We were into exporting furniture business, no? And we were catering to a very high-end company. And although I was working for our family business during that time, Kima Glass, that was way before we professionalized our family business. I mean, they gave me a very tiny salary. Just enough for me to pay the yayas of my children. No, okay. No, Chinese style pa man to before we professionalized our business. So needless to say, the bread and butter of Michelle and myself was truly our export business. No, we were into the high-end furniture. Now, in 2007, our client asked us to expand. They projected, according to them, that there's going to be a huge order in the following months. They were saying that there's going to be a market boom. So they told us, okay, this is what you do. Since you're our subcontractor, we want you to expand your production because we're really expecting volumes and volumes of order in the following months. So what we did, we invested in truck, we invested in a new warehouse. And guys, since it was a very high-end furniture company, one of the requirements that we need to carpet our whole warehouse, our whole production. So we poured so much money into that investment because we were also excited, no? Because our principal, the company we were supplying, they told us to expand. We are, you know, when the expansion was finished, we were expecting huge orders. We were expecting kanang big POs. But guys, just after we have done, we have finished our expansion, the market collapsed. Now, how many of you remember the Lehman Brothers? No, it was during that time that there was such a big global crisis. And since our furniture was a bit high-end, we were the first ones to be affected immediately. No? If my memory serves me right, we had around 600 employees at the golden age of the business. But during that time, with the market collapse, I think only 40 were left. It was that bad. Now, the sad thing about that was that wala mi nakabawi sa muang investment. I mean, our money was poured into that expansion and we were not able to have an ROI. So, ang nakapait pag yun, during that time, I had, you know, Luke was just born. If I'm not mistaken, Luke was only a year and a half. You know, he was just a baby during that time. And that was also the time that Michelle and I, we moved out of my parents' house. No, no, no more support from the daddy and mommy. We're about to pay our own electric bills, pay our own water, and et cetera, et cetera. No? So, it was quite a messy time, in a sense, during that period, financially at least. No? So, during that time, I remember coming before the Lord, humbling myself before God. Because I had, guys, ever since college, I had been a tither. I really believe in the principle of tithing. No? I believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. So during that time, I humbled myself before the Lord and I prayed, Lord, you know that kanang we're living on our own na, and I have kid, but why is it that our bread and butter natumba naman noon? Why is it that we have lost our export business? You know, this is very much our bread and butter. So I was not complaining before the Lord, but I was just humbling myself. I was just seeking the Lord, no? I was just praying and praying. As I prayed, the Lord by His grace reminded me that He is my Jehovah Jireh. The Lord reminded me that He is my great provider. And that regardless of my situation, He is still able to provide. So the Lord just, I don't know how He did it, but He just blessed me with that faith. That in spite of what I'm seeing right now, He assured me that He is our provider. Now, it was also during that time nga we were about to start the work in Living Word Park Lane. Okay? Now, Living Word Park Lane eventually became Living Word IT Park. So, guys, we started in Park Lane. And when we started the work in Park Lane, we also needed to raise funds, no? To make the down payment for the place, to invest on new equipments. Okay? We're gonna start a service naman in Park Lane. So that happened during that time. We closed down our export business, our bread and butter. We moved to a new home. And then we're about to, you know, start the work in Park Lane. So Michelle and I, we prayed together. And as we prayed, we were just assured by the Lord that regardless of what's happening right now, know that I am Jehovah Jireh. Know that I am your unchanging God. Know that I am able to provide. So in faith, I responded that, Lord, since you have assured me, I know, Lord, that you are my provider. Instead of giving 11% of our income, I will raise it up to 15%. Because I know that you are our provider. And so Michelle and I also prayed. We gave sacrificially as a, what we call, if you may, seed money for the work of God's kingdom that would be started in Living Word Park Lane. So we gave sacrificially and we decided to increase our giving. So after that, I once again came to the Lord in prayer because reality struck me na ba? I mean, most of you know that I am a college dropout, di ba? So I came before the Lord, just humbling myself before the Lord, just really seeking God for His guidance. Lord, this is almost verbatim, huh? Lord, you know I'm a college dropout. You know, Lord, I don't know anything about business at all. Maybe monkey business na daghan, but business, you know, I know nothing about business. So what am I gonna do? I have family to feed. And I just came before the Lord. I just prayed, Lord, you know, sakyanan ragid akong hibawan. Because ever since I was a child, I was really much into cars, you know? I really love cars. I don't know why. The Lord designed my DNA to be like that. So when I mentioned in my prayer, Lord, I only know about cars, then somehow as if it was an audible voice, the Lord just spoke, then use that. Then use that. Use your knowledge of cars. No? So, dito ko nakasabot nga, maybe the Lord wants us to venture into this industry. So with much prayer, Michelle and I, we prayed that we're gonna go into the buy and sell business sa sakyanan, no? And so we prayed really hard and we invested our life saving, which was not much, to buy a vehicle in order to sell, no? That was one car, remember it. We bought that car, Honda CR-V. Now when my dad saw the car, he asked me, where did that car come from? So I told him, we're gonna venture into buy and sell business. I think this is an avenue where I can explore to have more income. My dad was so mad at me. He told me, you know, this business is not gonna work. He was very angry. You know, you will never be able to sell this car. But 2 weeks later, my dad bought the car. And ever since then, my dad has been a very great supporter to me. Without him, I wouldn't be able to have this success, if you may. By the way, my dad is here. Can we give him a warm living word welcome? So when he bought that car, I took it as the Lord's confirmation. So, Lord, I think this is the way you want us to go. So there, slowly, surely, we prayed. We prayed very much. Our one car became two cars. Three cars became four cars. Five cars became... You know, now guys, today we have Big Luke Auto. No? We may not be the biggest used car dealership here in Cebu, but I'm confident to say by God's grace, we're one of the best here in Cebu. Right? Give the Lord a clap of praise. Now church, I'm a firm believer of Malachi 3:10. At least on its principle. No? I really believe that you will never be able to outgive God. Can we just flash Malachi 3:10 for a while here? Now it says here, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing that there will be not be room enough to store it. How many of you want to be blessed beyond measure? Wala. Amen. But I hope you desire the blesser more than the blessing. No? Now, guys, in whole scripture, if you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, kausara gud ni sulti si Lord, test me on this. And it is in the area of giving. It is in the area of giving. Again, this is not from me. This is not from Pastor TJ. This is from the Lord Himself. Test me in this. If I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. So guys, and notice guys, in Malachi 3:10, the scripture says, bring the full tithe, not half the tithe, not some part of the tithe, the full tithe. And it didn't even say, give the full tithe, because it is not for you to give, because it is not yours in the first place. It belongs to the Lord. Your role is to simply bring it. You don't give it, you bring it. No? So it belongs to the Lord. If you don't do it, for me, the scripture tells us that you're robbing God. Now, some Christians believe that this is just for the Old Testament people. But I believe with all my heart that the principles of tithing still reigns through up to today. Because in fact, it is confirmed by Paul in 1 or 2 Corinthians about sowing and reaping. And the point is simply this. None of us will ever be able to outgive God. Amen? So do not be afraid to give to the Lord, church. Give to the work of His kingdom. Give for the advancement of the gospel. And mind you lang, don't give because you want to invest, huh? As you give, it's not an act of investment. The Bible tells us the Lord loves a cheerful giver. The Bible didn't say the Lord loves an investor. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It is the condition of our hearts that rises up to God the moment we give our offering. So church, I encourage you to give. And it is really the prayer of the pastoral team. It is our heart's desire that you guys will have financial breakthroughs, that your careers will be successful, that your business will flourish, not so that you can amass wealth and enjoy luxurious things in this world, but so that you will be able to give more for the glory of Jesus' name. Right? Okay? Now, as marketplace believers, one of the things that we can contribute to the work of God's kingdom is in the area of finances. Okay? Now, last point, point number five, faithful stewardship. Okay, let's go to our last passage this morning, Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Now, church, the context of this passage is about the return of Christ. But as marketplace believers, there are some very rich principles we can learn from here. No? Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. And let me just read it for you. It says here, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he who also had 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you have no, where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered. Then you ought to have invested my money with the banker, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given and will be in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now church, stewardship. Okay, point number 5, faithful stewardship. Now the principles we can learn from this passage is that every believer has been entrusted with a talent. Or at least in some translation, bags of silver. So that means to say, if you've been entrusted by the Lord with something, whether it's ability, whether it's talent, or whether it's resources, money, or whatever, every believer has the capacity to earn. Every believer has the capacity to work on what the Lord has entrusted to them. Now guys, another principle we can learn here is that not everyone is equal. Some receive 5 talent, some receive 2 talent, some receive just 1. But the point is this, it is not our role, it's not our place to complain. No? Ah, Lord, paita, 1 talent rako, ayaha, 5 talent. Ah, Lord, 2 talent rako, ayaha, 5 talent. No, it's not. What has been given to us, we work on what has been entrusted to us. Our role, our job is not to complain, it's not to compare. Our role is what has been given to us. Our duty is to work on what the Lord has entrusted to us. Okay? Now, another thing we can learn here is that one day, the Lord will have an accounting session with us. Jojo, What have you done with the things I have entrusted to you? What have you done with the influence I gave to you? What have you done with the finances I've entrusted to you? Kevin, what have you done with the abilities and the talents and the gifts I have given to you? Guys, one day, you and I, we're going to have that accounting session with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing we can learn here is that if we're sloppy, if we waste the gifts and the talents and the abilities that the Lord has given to us, it will be taken away from us. And it will be given to the ones who had worked on it faithfully. No? If we are sloppy, if we are lazy, if we are unproductive in our life, if we choose to be unproductive, we will have an accounting session with the Lord someday. And clearly, the Lord is very displeased with servants or with people who are like that. So guys, another principle that we can learn here, and this is the most important one. Everything that the Lord has entrusted to His servants, it is not meant for self-consumption, but it is meant to be offered back to the Lord. The one who received the 5 talents, he immediately worked on it and earned 5 talents more. And when his master came back, he was so happy to present and offer this 10 talents to the master. Now this tells us the things that the Lord have entrusted to you and me, it is not ours to hoard. It is not ours to keep. But it is for us to offer gladly, to offer joyfully into the footstool of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what real stewardship is all about. Now, as I end, let me share to you this one last story. As I said, I'm a Christian Marites. No? So, daghan kay kog story. Kung ganahan mo maging story, nako, pwede tamang chika-chika. Okay, one last story. Now, guys, this is Ryan Maranga. Now, I met Ryan about 12 years ago. He was working for Kia there in Gorordo. And he worked there as a sales agent. He's a natural salesman. My goodness, maligya si Ryan. That's his talent. That's his ability. He's a really good salesman. Now, during that time, he was in a backslidden state. He was heavily into drugs. And because of that, he eventually got fired from Kia. Now, after losing his job, things went from bad to worse for Ryan. He was sucked deeply more and more into drugs to the point that his wife kicked him out of their house to protect herself and the children. Now, at that point, Ryan hit rock bottom. Now, he would be roaming the streets of Cebu, hustling money just for him to buy drugs. Now, we had a common friend, and according to katong story yami, when he saw Ryan, he described Ryan as mura na kunog taong grasa. No? Because he had nowhere to live. He had wasa ligo, he smelled so much, kanang, you know, taong grasa ba? He looked like a crazy person roaming the street. That's how low he got. No? That's how low he got. So, kanang, he would just be sleeping on jeepneys. Kanang, mura na kunog kanang beggar ba? Nana. He really hit rock bottom. Now, desperate for money, Ryan pretended to be a mechanic. So he posted his services online pretending to be a mechanic. But his goal was, he was out there to scam people. So what he does, he just received their down payment and never shows up again. That was his racket. No? Now one time, naay nailad sa probinsya. They really thought that Ryan was a mechanic. So they spent for his fare. So Ryan went to the province. And when Ryan went to the province, according to him, the place was so tranquil, no? It was so peaceful that it made him reflect on his life. So while there, while he reflected in his life, he realized how far nagud siya sa Ginoo ba, how much he has offended, because he was a backslider, how much he offended the Lord, and he thought about his family, about his wife, about his children. So, you know, kanang naka-meditate, naka-think siya about his life in that province. Now, when Ryan was sharing his story to me, he told me that if there is one thing that he's very grateful, it's his wife. Because although his wife kicked him out of the house, his wife never divorced him, and his wife never stopped praying for him. So while at the province, while Ryan was reflecting on his life, the Lord answered the prayer of his wife. And when Ryan realized how rock bottom he was, he cried desperately to the Lord. According to him, he really wailed before the Lord and asked the Lord to rescue him, asked the Lord to save him. No, he truly asked the Lord that the Lord would save him from drugs, the Lord would save him from himself, because he knew that he was really self-destructing. So he asked help, he repented. And surprisingly, after Ryan prayed the prayer of repentance, when he opened his bag, there was a packet of drugs that he totally forgot about. So when he got the drugs, he was so tempted to use it. Because according to him, he was very emotionally down during that time and he had zero energy. So he really wanted to use the drugs. But when the thought came into his mind, as if an almost audible voice, somebody was telling him, throw that away. So what Ryan did, believing it to be from the Lord, he threw the drugs away. And when he came back to Cebu, according to him, the very first thing that he looked for was a Bible. No? So he got hold of a Bible, and according to him, for the next 2 years, he barely left the house because he wanted to cut ties with his old friends. According to him, he also wanted to protect himself from temptation. So guys, this is genuine repentance, no? Tinud-anay gining a repentance. Dili ni storya-storya lang a repentance. Now, praise God. After 2 years, Ryan was completely delivered from the bondage of drugs. Praise God for that. But guys, that only solved half of the problem, right? I mean, he was broke. He was supposed to be the man of the house. He's supposed to provide for his family. But yet, he had zero income. So being the natural salesman that he was, this was an ability, a talent that the Lord gave to him. He tried to work for a real estate business or for a real estate firm. But somehow, he had difficulty penetrating the market. No, naglisod siya. Now, during this time, Ryan was already clean. In fact, he was walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then again, Ryan was still struggling. Financially, he couldn't afford to afford the basic needs for his family. Now, one day, Ryan received a call from two of his neighbors. And these neighbors were businessmen. And during that time, these neighbors of his needed to pay something off in the bank, but they were too busy to do it themselves. And since they know that Ryan is already a changed man, that Ryan is a Christian, they asked Ryan a favor. They called Ryan, can you be the one to go to the bank for us and pay the bank in our behalf? Okay, we're so busy good today. So since Ryan, he agreed. So there, the businessman handed him 3 million pesos in cold cash. 3 million pesos. So Ryan, sure ko nag-repent na gito siya. Kaya kung wapat na mag-repent, hindi na ito magkita ng 3 million, no? So he carried the 3 million all the way to the bank. When they reached the bank, the bank manager saw that Ryan hand carried the 3 million pesos, he was quite impressed that people would trust him with such a huge amount of money. So the manager called the businessman, "Uy, kinsa mani? Who's this guy that inyong gipadala aning 3 million? Is he okay? Okay ra ba ni siya? Why would you trust this guy bringing such a huge amount of money?" So the businessman told the manager, he's okay. He used to be on drugs, but now he's a faithful believer, he's a Christian, so he's honest, if you may. You know, guys, during that time, unknown to Ryan and unknown to the businessman, the manager was looking for a partner. He was looking for someone whom he can trust, because the manager of the bank was planning to venture into used car dealership, and he was looking for someone who can run the used car dealership for him. So right then and there, he hired Ryan on the spot. He told Ryan, "Ray, I don't need to interview you. I trust you. Money going in and money going out in this business that we're going to start, I'm going to entrust it to you. You run the business." So, to make the long story short, being the natural salesman that Ryan is, ability and gift man gi-give ni Lord for him, their business partnership flourished. Until such a time, that Ryan was able to save up, and I think the manager wanted to stop the business na, Ryan continued on. And now, Ryan is a successful businessman running Brad Auto used car dealership. Okay? So if you don't buy from Big Luke, buy from Ryan. He's also a very, you know, he's a very trustworthy businessman. And guys, today, not only is Ryan a successful businessman, he is also one of the core group leaders in our Living Word Pasil Outreach, and he serves as a worship leader. So guys, can you see from rock bottom, total zero, into a successful businessman serving the Lord? Now guys, what is that? That is faithful stewardship on Ryan's part. He had just received one talent, right? I mean, the only thing he got is that he knows how to sell things. He knows how, he's a salesman. That's the only ability that he has. You know, he didn't compare when, siya mo compare ng Lord, paita, ang ubang tao na ipuhunan ako, wako'y puhunan, other people have capital, me, I don't. No, he was not sore gripping, he was not, you know, he was not bitter. But he just worked on what the Lord had entrusted to him. And today, Ryan understands that life is not just about business. Ryan knows that life is supposed to be lived for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Amen? So guys, there you go. As Christian believers, what is our perspective of wealth and money? Our desire is not to become rich, but our goal is that we should become productive and fruitful in life. And just because you are not employed in the church, where you are right now, that's where your calling is, because you're a marketplace believer. And guys, pulpit of influence. If you work hard, influence will eventually follow. And if you already have that influence, what are you doing with that influence in order to advance the gospel? As marketplace believers, we have the responsibility to give for the work of God's kingdom. And as, you know, as people in the marketplace, we have to be good stewards of His blessing. Now guys, I have one more story. You want to listen? Huh? This is already off my manuscript, but somehow the Lord wanted, when I was on this morning, as I was thinking about the passage, the Lord wanted me to share this to you. So I told the Lord, Lord, I'm not sure, kataas-taas ang makawali. But this is it. I prayed, Lord, if you really want me to share this thing, remind me during my sermon this morning. Because I was about to close, the Lord reminded me. Anyway, now guys, one of the things I learned from Dr. Ang, maybe some of you know him, he was the one who guided us. He was like a father figure to us when we started Living Word IT Park, no? Dr. Anthony Ang. And in our one-on-one discipleship, there's one thing that Dr. Ang really said to me that kung kusabaga, it remained in me up to now ba. He told me this, the people, natural human nature, we have the tendency to accumulate. But as Christians, we need to practice the art of deaccumulation. Learn to deaccumulate. Learn to let go of things. No? But guys, because it stuck to me so much, somehow, I am trying as much as I can to practice that. No? Now, one day, if you remember Dave from IJM, also a missionary from California who came to serve here in Cebu as part of the IJM team, I invited him for dinner, his family for dinner. So when we had dinner, I was very surprised that he was a SWAT officer from California. He was well paid. He was, in other words, they already had very comfortable life in California ba. But yet, because of the Lord's calling, he gave up that comfort and came to Cebu to serve the Lord here. So I was greatly challenged. I go, Lord, this guy literally gave up everything to come serve you. Pero ako, Lord, what am I doing, Lord? And as I was praying, well, I was thinking about the life of Dave and thinking what Dr. Ang had been telling me to deaccumulate. As I was praying, the Lord pointed to my sports car. I used to own a sports car, a two-door Mini Cooper S. It was a nice one. Then I said, Lord, I want to kanang slowly deaccumulate stuff. I want to, it's just a material thing. So I committed to the Lord to make the long story short. I said to the Lord, I'm going to sell this car and I'm going to give every cent of its proceeds to the work of your kingdom. I'll use this, Lord, as a offering to you, ba? To deaccumulate, to offer it to you. I love that car, but I love the Lord more, no? So I offered it up to the Lord and gave everything for the work of His kingdom. And you know what, guys? When I did that, something happened in my life. All of a sudden, I don't get attracted with material things any longer. My wife is my witness. I used to be very materialistic, even though Christian nako. No? But when I did that, somehow as if eyes had been opened wider, chains had been broken, di na gyud ko ma-attracted to material things. Pero kung tagaan ko ninyo, mudawat niya po ko. No, just kidding. No, before, if I see a nice car, I want to acquire it for myself, no? If I see a nice watch, maybe I like to get it for myself. But now, it's just, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. Zero interest in all that. So, okay? You will never be able to outgive the Lord. And this is actually what the Lord wants me to share with you this morning. Now, I am in the car business, right? Used car business. Now, when the pandemic hit, I was greatly bothered. Because I was thinking, who in their right mind would buy a car during this season of crisis? No? And then my problem was, unlike property, the value of the property will grow up. But if you will not be able to sell the car, it will depreciate as time goes along. And the bad thing about that was that before the pandemic hit, nakastock pag yung kudaghan kayo. So I was thinking, Lord, saan ako ni Lord? And then I heard a sermon from Brother Mel. He says, believers, brothers and sisters, do not worry because the Lord is your provider. And when He provides, He sees to it that His provision will reach you. So I just trusted the Lord. Lord, ikaw na bahala, because in the first place, it is you who brought us to this business. It's your business anyway. Now guys, let me tell you this. I just don't know how the Lord does things, but the earth is the Lord, right? And everything in it. The world and those who dwell in it. Now guys, let me tell you. 2020, 2021, 2022, we're still in the pandemic, right? We have the biggest sales output in all the years. Mas dako pa ang hamong halin during the pandemic kaysa katong wa pa nag-pandemic. How is it possible? I don't know. You ask the Lord. Because you will never ever be able to outgive God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a big clap of praise. So guys, let's all stand as we come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you so much, Lord, for the testimonies we've heard this morning, O God. And for the word, Lord, that has been preached, Lord. We pray, O God, that help us to be faithful stewards of yours, O God. Lord, we pray, O Lord, that we were, as you bless us, Lord, we will truly be a blessing, O God. Father, we pray that we here in Living Word IT Park, Lord, will be generous givers, O God, for the glory of your name, that you use our influence, Lord, for the advancement of your kingdom. So today, Father, even as I pray for my brothers and sisters, O God, that you'll be the one to awaken their souls and their spirit, O Lord, to involve themselves, O God, for the work of the gospel, O Lord. So, Father, whatever has been done and accomplished this morning, we just want to give you back all the glory, the praise, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.